You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Facial recognition has been on the rise within technology, and so has our dependency on said technology. However, concerns have been risen with such risk. I spoke with professor in the Department of Commercial Law at the University of Auckland, Alex Sims, about the dangers of facial recognition for us today in various areas and the alternatives people can take when it comes to our images being taken and shared. Regarding the growing usage of facial recognition, you mentioned that the more we depend on facial recognition, the greater risk of it being used against us. If someone steals your credit card, your driver's license, passport details, you can eventually get them replaced. What happens if someone hacks into the system and steals your face? That is, the data that allows AI to know that you're you. You can't exactly go and get a new face. What risk do you believe that this data has or will show when more cases of scamming rise up, when with the use of facial recognition being more prominent within other areas of life?
It's not so much someone sort of stealing your face as such, because, you know, if you're walking on the street, people can take a photograph of you, or you can be captured by various cameras and CCTV and things. It's more when you've been using it, facial recognition technology as a way of verifying who you are. For example, instead of using a password, you're signing in using facial recognition technology. And the worry is if someone, you know, knows that, then they can use, you know, spoof your face, use a photograph or something like that, and then sign in acting as if it was you.
Incredible. Thank you very much. moving on, how would the average person be able to minimize threats to these scams?
Well, one of the ways is not to use facial recognition technology. So if your bank or someone says, hey, look, why don't you sign up using your face? It's really, really quick. You'll be able to access it really quickly. Well, just think, maybe no, and use another way, use a traditional way of doing it. Or if you've got a two-factor authentication way of doing it. So, for example, yes, use the face, but we'll also send you a text to your phone, which you then have to say, yes, it's me. That's safer.
Incredible. Thank you so much. And as a follow-up question, what pushes can we make to either decrease the use of facial recognition when it comes to personal matters or use alternatives to keep our images safe?
One of the ways, as I've said, is just to refuse to accept it or decline and say, well, no, I don't want to use it. And if the provider is saying, well, this is the only way we do it, then look for someone else who will accept other ways of authentication.
Thank you so much, Alex. Where do the benefits of facial recognition factor into when it comes to discussing technology?
Well, the argument will be that facial recognition technology can make things quicker. You know, people don't have to remember their passwords. But on the other hand, I personally think, and other people think, there's more downsides. As I've said, you can replace a password, but you can't replace your face, essentially.
Thank you very much. And as a follow-up question, where would they expand in terms of using facial recognitions on in the terms of being good for today's average person?
Well, I think it's being used more and more. So when you say it's being good, I mean, it's sort of offering, where it's being used, it's sort of convenience. But as we're hopefully people are seeing that just because something is convenient and easy, it doesn't necessarily mean it's a good thing. So, yeah, well, I think maybe people need a bit of friction and just think, well, you know, again, being quick and easy is not necessarily being safe and effective.
Thank you so much for answering that. And as a final question, when discussing alternatives to AI recognition technology, you mentioned with the identity of check system, people can verify their identity in person at a service center. An organization should be permitted to make it prohibitively difficult to prove your identity without using facial recognitions. What have you found aside from people at service centers for several cases to be another good alternative to use, and in what areas?
Okay, well, I mean, there's the traditional way of proving who you are by using, you know, your passport and things like that, photo ID. But there are other ways. For example, there's a rise of what we call self-sovereign identification. So that is a way that you can verify who you are or that you have certain attributes, for example, that you do have a degree, without actually revealing more information than necessary. So, when you're hiring something or something, and now you would show, for example, your driver's license, and the person then can see information like your full name and your date of birth. And they don't need all that information. And so what self-sovereign ID would allow you to do is for the receiver to be assured that, yes, you do have New Zealand driver's license. And for example, if you're purchasing alcohol, that, yes, you're over 18. And they don't need any more information than that. And so there's various self-sovereign identity systems out there. The issue is they've had quite a low uptake because businesses and organizations don't want to use them unless their customers are using them, and likewise, customers don't want to use them unless the organizations are using them. So there are alternatives out there, but it will take a while to for them to be sort of mass adoption. But just a quick thing, I'm actually just marking an assignment on this at the moment, is you do have to be really careful because quite a few of the platforms for digital identity or decentralized identity will say that you're in control and everything like that. But it turns out there some of them are actually holding your personal information because apparently they need to because of anti-money laundering and know your customer requirements. And that's actually, and then they're getting hacked. So again, if people are using some decentralized or self-sovereign identity solutions, they have to be really careful about what they are using because they may not be as safe as what is portrayed.
That was Professor of Commercial Law Alex Sims on the dangers of facial recognitions that has been posed for today's technology and the various alternatives that people can use when dealing with sensitive information online.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.